You're about to enjoy this replay of the Suns UCF Live brought to you by Dariga, matching your company with the right talent. Today, I want to talk more about Dariga, a company that's revolutionizing the way businesses tackle one of their most critical challenges, finding the right talent. Dariga stands out for the groundbreaking approach to recruitment, which is really more like matchmaking. They also have deep-rooted ties to UCF. Ray Bazzi, their founder, is a UCF alum who actually started the company based on a class project during his MBA program. Also, their commitment to UCF runs deep. 95% of their employees are UCF graduates. Many companies turn to Dariga, and you should too. To find out more, go to knightrecruiting.com. That's Knight with a K to learn more about Dariga. Dariga, matching your company with the right talent. All right, don't adjust your dials. Trace Trelka once again missing in action, but do not worry. Brian W. Peterson has come out of the cave. He's been in an office for, I don't know, like six straight months. He's come out of the cave. He's lit up his lightsabers behind him, and he is more than willing to join in tonight on the Suns Live show. Brian, first off, brother, appreciate you, man. How are things?
Oh, things are good. Nice and busy in the office. Tax season is in full swing. So, you know, if I have to take a call with a client, you'll understand, I'm sure. But we're good. I'm glad to be back. Haven't seen you guys in a little while, so I've been MIA, but I'm glad to be here.
All right, well, you can take a call only if you put it on air, because I want to understand other people's taxes. But we'll get to taxes, we'll get to football, we'll get to basketball, we'll get to a whole bunch of stuff throughout the show. We got your questions inside the box, all that good jazz. So we'll get all that rocking and rolling. Brian, let's start with football first before we get into basketball. Obviously, spring practice took place again this week, a week off for spring break. The Knights are back on the practice field. I know you're pouring over 20-second clips like the rest of us sickos. What have you seen so far, Brian, in the 17 seconds total of UCF football practice that you've been able to digest?
Those quick practice clips that we get, I live for those, right? That's the best thing about the offseason is who's throwing the ball, you know, how quick is it coming out, who's he throwing it to? And we judge our entire season based on what these 10 second clips look like. And hats off to Trace for getting out there and getting those clips for us, right? The hardest working man out there.
Well, not today. I mean, because today is MIA. Andrew Cherico is your guy today.
Well, yeah, Andrew gets around. I guess Trace is using his very generous PTO.
Very generous.
That you're such a generous employer, Adam. But yeah, those keep them coming, right? We want to see all of those 10-second clips just so we can see exactly what we want to see out of those clips. But you know, if you believe everything you see on those clips, we're going all the way. Let's go to the national championship, baby, you know.
Does this feel a little anticlimactic? There's not a lot of drama this offseason, Brian. Every year we're talking quarterbacks, we're talking position battles, you know, who the new guy, there's not a lot of drama. Does this almost feel like anticlimactic that there's not more storylines here?
You know, I was thinking about that earlier today, and we probably forget we really didn't have a lot of quarterback drama last season just because we all expected that JRP was going to be the incumbent starter when Mikey left and entered the transfer portal. But the several years that we had prior to that, after McKenzie got hurt, and then when Matt got hurt and broke his ankle, like there were several years where we didn't know who was going to be the starter, and that was all we could talk about all offseason. Whereas now it's like, hey, obviously KJ Jefferson is the guy, he's going to play. I mean, I guess we could talk about the drama for who's going to take that quarterback two slot. But yeah, it's been pretty low key, which is kind of refreshing, if I'm being honest.
Yeah, we're going to have to manufacture some drama. But don't you worry, that's what the Suns do best, is we will manufacture some drama. One thing I like, Brian, is that Gus and the staff have done a concerted job of getting new people in front of us, new faces, new voices. We've had a few new people at the podium, including today. Andrew Cherico is out there and met up with a couple of new people. Brian, let me introduce you to Ethan Barr and what he had to say about his new role with UCF.
Yeah, I think linebacker is where I'll be. That's where I played my whole time in college and high school as well. So. Yeah, middle linebacker is where I'll be. I see my role being the leader of the defense, the guy that communicates to the rest of the guys, help get people lined up, just communicate about, you know, what we can do better while we're off the field, and then just, yeah, like I said, getting everyone else lined up. So I think that's kind of what I was brought in for too. So
Obviously, Brian Ethan is a linebacker. That's probably the position of most concern for a lot of people. Is that the position you're most interested in kind of seeing develop throughout the rest of camp and before the spring game?
Yeah, I mean, we're not going to know until we get into the first couple games of the season to see what we really have with that linebacker core. We know the coaches that have said that that is an area of need. So we've been hitting the transfer portal pretty hard. We've got some freshmen coming in that I think they're going to fill in those roles pretty nicely. That is really the big question on the defense still, I think. You know, it's a question last year, and if we can shore up that area on the defense and get those DBs playing well, I think the defense will be in a good position.
Well, you mentioned DBs. One of the returners on the defensive back is Brandon Adams. He also met the media today, Brian, and he has an observation and then a question for you.
Well, I can see now, like, that everybody got that dog. Like I said last, like, everybody got that dog. Yeah, it's been fun to watch.
Brian, do you have that dog in you? Brian, I don't know about you. Brandon Adams has that dog in him. He sees people with dog in him. Brian W. Peterson, do you have that dog in you?
I certainly do not have the same dog that Brandon Adams has in himself. Okay. So, you know, maybe when it comes to taxes, but not on the defensive side.
Listen, this time of year, Brian, that's a good dog to have as somebody who can also balance your 1099. So, look, we'll have more football talk coming up here while Paul Lounsbury, friend of the program, will be on with us here in a little bit, and we'll dive into more football, Brian. But let's transition over to basketball. So, breaking news on Tuesday evening, a lot of national media reports and the New Orleans Sentinel and a few other folks have sort of chimed in that Johnny Dawkins will be receiving a contract extension. I haven't seen a whole lot of details floated out there. Mike Bianchi in a opinion column he had today seemed to reference it being a 2-year extension. I don't know if that's a fact. I don't know
that's
if that's
what I read as well. Yeah,
I don't know if that's his.
I think we read the same column.
Yeah, I don't know if that's a fact, if that's just his inclination there. But obviously, Brian, this is a really polarizing topic. You're either pro-Johnny or you're anti-Johnny. There's really no in-between. It looks like, according to this, at least, Tari Mohajer is becoming pro-Johnny. What are your thoughts on an extension for Johnny Dawkins? Do you think that's deserved? Do you think that's earned?
Listen, it's not the UCF fan base. It's not UCF Twitter if we're not heavily, heavily divided on one topic. And that topic happens to be Johnny Dawkins right now. I had said in some discussions that I had with some other fans a couple weeks ago that I would like to see Johnny get an extension for probably 2 years. That was kind of the key that I had in my mind for the length of time I would like to see him extended, get him a little bit of security that he'll be here for a couple more years. He's obviously over exceeded expectations for the first season in the Big 12. Nobody expected us to play as well in the Big 12 as we did. It really hurts to lose to USF in the first round of the NIT, but that game aside, he over exceeded expectations in the first year of the Big 12. So I think he deserves another chance to run it back, give him that, you know, 2-3 year extension, keep him on board. But I do want to see some progress next season. He's got a handful of talented transfers that are coming in. We don't know what the team is going to look like, but I was happy to see that extension is coming in. I don't want it to be too long. I'm a businessman, Adam. I don't want to make a poor business decision, but I think giving him a 2-year, 3-year extension, buy him some time, let's see some additional growth and progress next season, and I think we'll be in good shape.
Well, to your point, the numbers are important, right? A 2-year extension, he has 1 year remaining. So is that 2 years plus the one? So is that essentially 3 more years for Johnny Dawkins? We don't know what the buyout is on either side, right? So we don't know what the buyout is for him to leave or for us if we need to move on from him. And so I think some of those details are important. But I do think at some point you have to plant your flag as a school and say, okay, this is our coach. We're behind our coach because you're going to need that in recruiting, right? No one wants to be that lame duck, right? No one wants that lame duck year to understand what's happening. So I think Tari Mohajer had to make a decision. Now, it's curious, we haven't seen anything official or formal come out yet. UCF has been a lot more of a stickler these days with releasing contracts. I know Gus's contract still isn't out there. So there's some people probably sharpening their Freedom of Information Act pencil right now, trying to figure out how to get their hands on that contract and figure out what that looks like. But you mentioned changes. Brian, the portal is already busy. CJ Walker, the biggest name, who announced he's in the portal. Marcellus Avery announced he's going pro, but not hiring an agent. I don't know if that means he's coming back to UCF or not. DeMar Langford announced that he will also be leaving. Mintotis Moskus also announced that he'll be taking off as well. So the transfer portal already getting busy for UCF. So it'll be an interesting time to see how Johnny progresses. Brian, do you have a sense of, do you think this is going in the right trajectory, right? So, you know, there's a lot of excitement about Mikey Williams potentially signing with UCF. There's some top recruits coming in here. Are you thinking this is a ship that's pointing upward for UCF basketball at this point?
I think so. And that was part of the reason that I was, you know, pro him getting a short, you know, 2-year extension. I wanted to see these recruits that Johnny has been, you know, touting as coming in. We've seen a lot of Mikey Williams, who's potentially going to be, I mean, all indications are that he is still coming. So I think those type of big name transfers can really, really change this program next year. And I wonder how many of these transfers that are leaving the program are maybe perhaps seeing the writing on the wall that maybe their playing time will be less because of the transfers that we have coming in. But I'm excited to see what the squad looks like next season once we get this team finally put together and we see what we've got to play with. But that was, again, and that was a big part of keeping Johnny on board, I think, from Terry Mahajer's perspective. Yeah.
Yeah, I think you want to try to build on that consistency. So obviously with college sports these days, things change by the day with transfer portals. So we'll certainly keep our eyes peeled if and when we get official word about what Johnny Dawkins and his contract extension looks like, Brian. But every week on the show, we have people on here, and it's not really hard to be cooler than us, right? It's really not. Like, pretty much everyone we have on the show is cooler than we are, especially this guy, because we all have this fantasy of like what we're going to do with our lives, and I'm going to do something right. And this guy literally put his money where his mouth is. His name is Rob Starkman. He is a UCF alum, and he's the founder of Rock'em Socks. He's also now the proud owner of a UCF basketball court that is now adorned inside of his facility. So first off, Rob, appreciate you for hopping in. Thanks for joining us here on the Suns UCF.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it, guys.
All right, so let's just start here. How did this come about? Like, we all have this thing like, hey, I'd love a sign. Hey, I'd love a shoelace. How did you sit down one day and go, you know what I'd love is the UCF basketball court?
So I've been going to the Final Four since I was young. My family has always been in college basketball. My dad coached college basketball for like 20 plus years. And so every single year you go to the Final Four, there's a coaches convention. And the one like gift that you have to get, they give it away every year, is, I think it's called Connor Sports. They give away a little piece of a basketball court with the actual Final Four's like court graphic on it. And so like I've had these little basketball courts my whole life. And when we recently moved into a new facility, we're like, oh, we have enough space to make a basketball court. So that was always in our plans to put a basketball court in there. And so last year at the Final Four, I walk up to the Connor Sports booth, get my little piece. And I talk to the guy and I'm like, hey, like, you know, I own this company. We want to put a basketball court in there. How much would it be? And they start like throwing out numbers. And he's like, where are you guys located at? And I was like, in Orlando. And he goes, Orlando. He's like, Orlando. He's like, we were just out at UCF the other day putting a new court in there. I was like, a new court? They're like, yeah, because the Big 12, they're moving to a new, you know, a new conference, so they're getting a new court. I was like, I went to UCF. I was like, I didn't know the basketball court was up for grabs. I was like, what do you guys do with it? They're like, oh, well, usually basketball courts, they sell back to us. We, you know, shave it down, we reskin it, and we sell it out again. So like, it's just like the cyclical system that they have. And so I like hit up our team. I was like, all right, basketball court's up for grabs. Like, we can get in right now. And so we have a pretty good relationship with Terry Mahajer over at UCF Athletics. And my partner, Steve Rollins, he just was DMing him over Twitter. And he's like, hey, like, heard there's a new court coming. What can we do? So this was about like a year in the making. And we finally finished the acquisition. It was like in November, December of last year. And right in the thick of like our holiday season, we were hauling out the old court into our facility, and we finally put it up this year, and it's been like a dream come true. It's amazing. So yeah, it's really cool to know that, like, man, that's where my office was for like 4 years of my college career. That's where the business started. Like, without this court right here, I wouldn't even have this business. So to like bring it home, I like make it it's similar to like if you bought the room that you were actually born in at the hospital, and you have it on display in your house, you know. So it's pretty damn cool.
Yeah, that'd be interesting. But did you have a obviously a lot of iconic courts from UCF, right? There was the old blacktop, yeah. Brian's favorite, which is the roller coaster version. Were you trying to get your hands on a unique court, or did you not care which court it was? Just give you any court.
So I would have loved to have the roller coaster one. I would love to have like the black and gray one, like some really, really cool ones, because that's unique. It's different. But I think it was just, you know, luck of the timing that we got this one. Like they were moving into the Big 12, so they got him in court. Like, had we known prior, had we known that they were, you know, selling off of a roller coaster court, like, I don't even think they sold it. I think they just gave it back to the company to reskin it. But yeah, I would have loved to have some of the iconic ones over the years. But I think we have a new goal. And it's to, you know, continue to grow our company where we can move into a bigger facility and maybe have a few different courts. So we'll see what the Magic do with their old court. Maybe we're trying to get in with that. But yeah, we're very grateful to have the one that we have now, which is really fun.
So, Rob, Adam had the picture up there. It looks like it's only half the court. Are you guys, are there plans to put down the full court? I mean, you got the whole warehouse set up there. What's going on? Are you guys going to put the full court out? We're kind of cutting off the UCF logo there. I mean,
yeah. So we, I guess, unfortunately, but fortunately, have grown so much over the past year since our plans have changed to where we had to amend the court. So we only have a half court right now. The rest of the court, you know, would go where like our inventory and our product is so being made. So we can't really do that right now, but we kept the court intact. Like, we only cut pieces from like the opposite ends, like the out of bounds. So we can still put those together. But the idea is definitely like 100% in my mind. There's no shot it doesn't happen. It will eventually have a big enough place that we're going to have the actual full court at our facility, which is amazing.
What did what's the delivery of a basketball court look like? Does an 18 wheeler pull up and you've got, you know, pallets of court that they're laying down? How does that work?
Yeah, it's pretty much that. We had rented an 18 wheeler. So like a moving company come in, they go to the UCF arena, and then their team, you know, graciously broke it down for us. And it's like a puzzle that they put together. You nail it down, like you have to shove the piece in, you have to like pivot it in. So every one of those pieces is coming out. And then it's like set up by rows and columns so that you know exactly where each piece is going. Every piece is labeled on the bottom. And there's just a lot of brute force, a lot of strength that you have to pick. Like, those things are heavy. Those pieces of floors are heavy. I think it's like about 2 inches thick of wood, like probably, 4 feet by 8 feet. And so we had a bunch of our guys put it together. Like, our team literally ended up putting it together. We were supposed to work with the UCF arena, but we couldn't get them in time. And like, our team put it together. So it was pretty amazing to see what they were doing, like cutting around the poles and cutting the edges and everything.
I was going to ask about the poles. Did you guys have to cut the court around the pole like that?
Yeah. So like, it's like a, you know, like, let's say 6 inch by 6 inch square that we had to cut in all those poles. And it sits flush. And like, should we, you know, ever go into another place where maybe there aren't poles or they're a different placement, like that's just, that piece is going to go right back into it. So we've definitely kept the entire court intact. And even if you cut it, you can put it back together. So yeah, like I said, I'm very optimistic that we'll eventually have the full thing, which is fun. But for right now, hey, half court, like, I'll take it. You know, we can shoot half court shots. We can play 3-on-3 on that. Like, it's damn cool when you come and see it.
Are you guys going to put some safety measures on this if you're playing 3-on-3 on the bars that are in the middle of the court?
Definitely. So we have custom like padding that we're going to be putting on the poles. We have custom padding that we're going to be putting on the walls. That definitely is more safe. But I think the 3-on-3 is, you got to slow down if the ball is about to go out of bounds. You can't run right into the fences. That'd be me. For sure. Yeah.
Definitely hit one of those.
Yeah, Rob, I was going to ask, how do you envision using the court? Is this like pre-work, post-work pickup games? Is this, hey, I just need a little bit of a lunch break? Like, how do you envision using the court kind of in the day-to-day business?
Definitely anybody that can dunk on me gets a complete control of the business. I'm 6'10", so it's not going to happen. But we've been, you know, we'll play 3-point games at the end of work. We'll play knockout with our entire staff. We've had like some 3-on-3 games that we played. And then we're also working with like a lot of trainers. You know, we got a lot of friends in the industry that can bring some professional athletes over to, like, we had like 6 NFL guys today come over to our place, like pretty big names too. And they're just shooting around. They were just having a ton of fun. So very, very exciting to see the potential. Like, these guys are very excited when they come and they see our place. It brings so much legitimacy to our, you know, our entire facility and our business. So we're definitely going to like use it as content. We're definitely going to use it as like a training platform. So there's a lot of things that we can do with this that helps the halo effect of the business, but also just like get really cool people in the building.
Well, Rob, tell us about your journey. I know you were a student manager for a while at UCF. When we were at UCF, kind of walk us through the life of Rob, the UCF student slash student manager for UCF basketball.
Yeah, so I was a student manager from my freshman to what ended up being my amended senior year in college. But it was my junior year that we like had these socks that were just blank black and white socks, because when we moved from Adidas to Nike because of the Jordan brothers, we just had socks that didn't match our uniforms. So like, we're black and gold, we had black and white socks. So I just took them home, dip dyed them, and started making them for the players. And that like literally turned into the business. But basketball was like my passion from before I even started working at UCF. And, you know, it was just like a ton of dedication, long hours. And like, UCF basketball was my life for 4 years. And, you know, so fortunately that I got to work with under both Coach Spiraw and Coach Jones, but this opportunity of Rockham came under Coach Jones, and like, he was always so supportive. Their staff was so supportive. And like, I was able to travel with the team, able to work with the team while still building my business. And then some of my best friends and, you know, mentors and people that are still in my life to this day, I met at UCF basketball. So it's definitely something that like, I'll look back on my life, and that'll always be an extremely pivotal moment, regardless of if it was business or not. But it was just right place, right time, being able to really build a platform for a business based on this incredible job opportunity that I had as a student manager.
Rob, so sticking with Rockham socks here, do you have a favorite pair? I mean, are we talking, you know, the space generation that you guys put out, the Knot ones, which one's your favorite? Do you have a favorite?
I do love the Space Game ones because we get some sneak previews beforehand, so we get to work on some really, really fun stuff. I do love the Horns Down one. Is always fun, even though, you know, USF crosstown rival. We get to play a little fun with that one. But I love working with UCF just in general, because it's so close to my heart. It's so close to like our staff's heart that we're able to tell a bunch of different stories. We're able to, you know, embed ourselves in the culture with the fans, but also with the players now with NIL. So just to be able to have like these kind of relationships that we're able to build because of socks and now underwear is amazing. So it's hard to say which is my favorite pair, but I'll always just say the next one that we make.
I noticed you guys had a lot of gold socks on there. You know, if we can get some more gold socks, it'd be fantastic. I love me some gold socks.
Well, that got
too much gold. Do we need to change it up here?
No. So, never too much gold. Never too much.
Yeah, okay, good. Brian's pro gold, Rob. Like, he's on this kick where he wants the gold uniform back. Like, the
O'Leary, like 50 Shades of Gold, you know.
Fair. Yeah. No.
I'm all about the gold.
Has there been one design, Rob, that you had that you took to people and they're like, nah, that one's too much? What makes it to the cutting room floor that unfortunately doesn't see the light of day?
Gosh. Well, when it comes to UCF, I don't recall one that's ever been held back on. If anything, it's like usually like a licensing issue. Actually, I don't think they even let us use the Pegasus logo. That's one that might be on the cutting room floor. But we do it all. Like, we have kind of no filter. Like, we have "He is risen" with Jesus looking really cool on it. You know, we have a Donald Trump one where he's doing the YMCA dance. Like, we have that one coming out soon. So like, we don't really hold back on what we just like to have fun. You know, so there's nothing ever vulgar in there, but like, if something fun is happening in the world and like we can reach an audience with it, we're going to do it. So yeah, I think very few has hit the cutting room floor, but you know, what you see is kind of like straight from our brains right to our website.
Mario wants to know if he can get a roller coaster court version of Rock'em Socks.
That's a good idea. We'll bring that up tomorrow and we'll see if we can actually make that happen. Cause now that we own the court, I think there's a lot of opportunity for us to tell stories about prior courts, you know, through like this kind of piece of content now that we have.
Rob, another cool thing is you all have not been shy about doing NIL deals with a lot of athletes, obviously a lot of UCF athletes as well. How cool is it for you as an alum, as someone who started this business, now seeing where college athletics is, where you have the ability to work with some of these student athletes? How cool is it that you have the opportunity to make some cool deals with a lot of the students around UCF?
Hey, man, we try to sponsor the managers there asking for a check. So I wish this was happening during my time out there. You know, I could have been making some money, but no, it's amazing to just tap in with every single player, whether they're like a superstar or whether they're, you know, falling asleep on the bench. Shout out to Pooh. He falls asleep a lot on the bench. But like, you know, we love working with all the athletes, guys, girls, like across every single sport. It's just really, really fun way to stay connected to the school. And like, our goal is, you know, like Nike to Oregon, Maryland to Under Armour, Adidas to University of Germany, Berlin, who knows where they started. Like, that's what we want to do with UCF, you know?
Well, Rob, we appreciate you hopping in as always. It's such a cool story, man. Yes. It's really awesome to see you kind of giving back, but also getting something out of that deal as well too. So if people want to follow you, follow Rock'em Socks. I'll give you some time for a plug. I imagine everybody listening or watching knows what Rock'em Socks is, but if they don't, how can they find the website? How can they find some of the cool merch you guys have?
Well, as always, I appreciate you guys having me. Thanks for shouting us out. And you know, I think all we ask is for support from UCF fans. If you guys are reaching for socks, if you guys are giving socks away for gifts, if you guys are buying socks, you know, hopefully you guys think of us first. So definitely check us out, rock'emsocks.com. We've got probably the world's largest supply of UCF socks, definitely the most authentic ones. So, you know, as always, it's Go Knights, charge on.
You said you're 6'10", Rob. How's the jumper looking these days? The jumper still good, still pure?
It's pretty wet. It's pretty wet. Yeah, I was on Fox 35 yesterday. And they were filming a segment with me and they're like, oh, let's start off with like a half court shot. Just try and shoot it. And I'm like, just drained it. Absolutely drained it first try. So I never lost it. You know, it's like riding a bike. That elbow, the form, always have it.
Rob always has the form. Well, Rob, we appreciate you for joining, man. Really cool story. Thanks a lot for hopping in and sharing more about your court.
I appreciate it. Have a great day, everyone.
Charge on. That's cool, right? What's one thing you could buy, Brian? If you had the, you know, once this tax thing works out for you, are you buying like the Citronaut logo? Are you buying like every gold jersey UCF has? What do you got?
I have every gold jersey UCF has.
That's also fair. Should probably look into that.
Yeah. It's not something that I want to take home. I want that Lazy River done.
Oh.
Let's get the Lazy River. Come on.
Okay. Well, maybe you can take the Lazy River. Maybe we can, let me get Rob back on the line, see if he can float as a loan for the Lazy River. While we do that though, Jeff Allen's going to float as the Big 12 Minute.
As we march to the Sweet 16, the Big 12 national title hopes are down to two teams. In the East region tonight, the 2-seed Iowa State battles the 3-seed Illinois. That'll be the late game after Suns Live on TBS. Tomorrow night in the South region, the top seed Houston squares off against the 4-seed Duke. That will be the late game on CBS Friday night. In women's NCAA tournament action, we are also down to two teams left in the Big 12. Tomorrow night at 10 on ESPN in the Portland 4 region, Texas, as the top seed takes on 4-seeded Gonzaga. On Saturday at 5:30 on ESPN, 5th-seeded Baylor takes on the top seed USC in the Portland 3 region. In Sweet 16 action. With your Big 12 Minute, I'm Jeff Allen.
There's Jeff Allen with the Big 12 Minute. Brian, are you keeping up with the Big 12 Pro Day, speaking of Big 12, where today John Rhys Plumlee put up some really impressive numbers in a 4.49 unofficial 40-yard dash. He had a what it would have been the best quarterback long jump long and jump, broad yeah. jump. Have you been keeping track of the Big 12 Pro Day? And do you think there's any chance JRP gets his name called in the draft?
I mean, he's certainly helping his stock, right? He's had a great day. I haven't been watching the Pro Day live. I've been catching all of the updates that UCF football has been posting about all the players. And I mean, he's had a great day so far, right? I mean, he had over a 10-foot long jump. He's looking crisp, throwing the football. It's been a good day. He certainly hasn't hurt his stock in any way.
Yeah, he's got a visit, I know, scheduled with the Seattle Seahawks. So maybe, just maybe, John Rhys Plumlee sneaks into a draft. But you and I don't know much about football, but luckily our next guest does, Brian. So we can pepper him with all the football questions we can find. He's former UCF coach Paul Lounsbery, and he's always gracious enough to join us on the show. Coach, first off, thank you so very much for hopping in again, as always, when we need you.
No problem, Adam. I appreciate you asking. And also, Brian, it's good to see you.
Coach.
All right, Coach, before you came on, we had the founder of Rock'em Socks who bought a UCF basketball court. Is there a piece of memorabilia at UCF that if you could buy, you'd want to own?
I don't know about that. I have some memorabilia that I really like, a couple of jerseys and a couple of helmets and things, but I don't know. A court is, I don't have any place to put a court, so
not many of us do, Coach. You're not alone on that front. But obviously, you spent a lot of time on a field, not a court. I know today you were out at spring practice. So I guess the first question for you is obviously this schedule was a little unique, right? There was a practice, then there was an off week, and then there was a practice week again. And this is, I think, the second practice UCF's had this week. Have you noticed any sort of downslide or any sort of slow motion with the kind of the week off in between the two practice weeks?
No, on the contrary, I thought the practice on Tuesday and again today were both very spirited and very good effort practices. I was pleasantly surprised that they came back and were as aggressive and energetic as they were. It's always tough to break spring practice up with spring break, but I think this team has a lot to prove, and I think they know it, and I think they're mentally in a good place. I think Coach Malzahn and his staff have done a great job of getting them there.
Well, Coach, forgive me for noticing, but I've spent some time on UCF's campus, and it looks like we have a really nice indoor practice facility, but it also looked like today it rained out at UCF, and yet the team was outdoors. Is there a strategic advantage to having them outdoors in the rain? Was there a reason why they didn't decide, hey, maybe let's just go inside to the indoor facility?
Well, I think if it had been thunderstorms and lightning, we'd have been inside, but sometimes it's good to be out in that weather and get a little wet ball drill, and practice playing in adverse conditions a little bit, because we're going to face them probably during the season. So we always wanted to stay out in it if we could. And lightning is the key factor. Now, a lot depends on where you are with your plan and what you're planning to do at practice too. But I thought it was good to stay out there today. It got a little windy too, but it was a good day, I thought.
I bet Oklahoma State wishes they had a little more wet ball practice last season.
Yeah, probably so.
Coach, so tell me, in week two here, what's the biggest improvement that you saw in our second week of practice?
Well, I mentioned it after the first week, but it's even more obvious now is the linebacker positions. Ethan Barr and Deshaun Pace are two transfers that are running with the first team on defense, and I think that's made a big difference. Josiah Pierce and Josiah Pierre and Xavier Alexander are the other two that are running with the second team, and they're also both transfers. So I think we've improved tremendously there. I think our defensive line is looking better and better, and it's great having both Lee and Ricky back. I think that's huge. We've gotten some help in a couple other spots at defensive end too, and I think we've gotten some help in the secondary as well. I know we've got the Pace young man was the leading tackler at Cincinnati last year, and one of the safeties is the second leading tackler at Cincinnati last year. So I think we're helping ourselves a lot on defense. I think the aggressiveness on defense has been great. I think they're playing very well. On Tuesday, they had a third down drill against the offense, and the defense dominated that pretty much. Today, the defense again dominated in run play action, but the offense actually did very well in red zone. So it's good to see both sides of the ball having some success. But I think the linebackers and the defense in general are the biggest improvement that I've seen.
You mentioned the red zone play. How's KJ looking? How's our quarterback room looking? What have you seen out of the potential QB2 options that we've got out there? And give us a little bit of insight on KJ and how his game is looking.
Well, I think KJ's looking really good. I think Timmy is looking great. Dylan Risk and Riley Trujillo, both of them showed really positive things, all four of those guys. I think we're in good shape with four guys that can play, and I don't know who's going to end up being second, third, and fourth. I think KJ he's got a mess up for him to lose the job, I think, but I really like what I've seen from our quarterbacks too. I really think Darren is doing a great job. Darren Henshaw is doing a great job coaching those guys too. So I'm excited about where our quarterback play is right now. And if we get great quarterback play, we're going to have a good season.
Coach, as a follow-up to that, is there anything specific you'd like to see the offense work on within, you know, the red zone when they're practicing? I feel like a lot of times last season we were easily moving the ball, and then once we got to the red zone, we seemed to stall out a bit at times. Is there anything that you'd like to see the team practice more on, and what can they do to improve in that area?
Well, they were working on things today that I really liked, a lot of bootlegs and a lot of flow, getting out on the edge with the quarterback, a lot of good stuff, I think. So those guys, they know what they're doing. I think we're going to be fine there. A lot of it just has to come down to the execution. And so we just got to keep working at it and execute.
Coach, we were talking about Big 12 Pro Day as you came on. Obviously, a player that had a pretty good Pro Day today was Javon Baker. Obviously, he's big shoes for UCF to fill back here in Orlando. Who are you seeing sort of step up in the receiver room to kind of maybe fill some of the gap of losing Javon Baker?
Well, I really like what I've seen from Whittemore. I think he's gotten a lot better. And Xavier Townsend, of course, is playing very well. I think Jared Baker has stepped up and is playing a lot better. There are a couple other guys that have shown a lot of improvement as well. There are a couple of freshmen, true freshmen. I don't know how much they're going to play this year, but the Richardson, Bedell Richardson and Kylan Fox, both are freshmen and they both have some skills. So I don't know how much they'll play this year, but I like what I've seen. There are a couple other guys that haven't really shown much that I kind of expected might step up. The young man from Florida State just hasn't shown yet that he's ready to go. So we'll see. But and of course, we have the injury with number two. So
Kobe,
yeah. So I think we know what he can do. So, and he's going to miss all of spring, but he'll be back in the fall. So I think we're good in the wide receiver room. I really do.
Coach, this is the first time in, I think, 20 years that UCF doesn't have a Kalubi Ali or a Holler on the team, which is probably some sort of a record. But obviously, losing Alec Holler is a big void from a leadership standpoint. Losing John Rhys Plumlee, a big void from a leadership standpoint. On offense, who have you seen kind of stepping up and being a leader, kind of leading the team and really kind of taking over maybe that captaincy role that you saw JRP or Alec Holler take in previous years?
Well, I think Marcellus Marshall has done a lot of that. I think he's doing a really good job of that. I think in a quiet way, RJ does that too. I haven't seen enough of KJ yet in that role, but by his position, he probably will be too. But I think Marcellus and RJ have done a lot of good things.
Coach, you mentioned Kylan Fox, tight end. Are we going to see a little more tight end play?
Well, actually, Kylan,
not just blocking, but are we going to see the tight end make some catches this season? What's in store for us this coming season with the tight ends?
Actually, Kylan is playing wide receiver. So he's just a big wide receiver. I think you're going to see a lot of tight end with Pittman. I think he's a really good blocker, and he can split out and be fast enough and good enough as a receiver. And I think you'll see him a lot. There are a couple other guys that may step up yet at the tight end spot. So when we go two tight ends, we may have a couple other guys emerge like Holler had done in the past. So I think though, you'll see a lot of Pittman and a lot of balls go to Pittman.
You think we're going to use him as a throwing option more so than a blocking option?
I think he'll do both. And there is a young man that came from Michigan State who has a chance. He's a good-looking kid. I don't know. I haven't seen enough of him yet to know what's going to happen there, but he's getting some reps, and if he lives up to the way he looks, he'll help us.
Coach, obviously a scrimmage on Saturday for UCF, the first scrimmage of this spring, you know, season. What are you trying to get as a coach out of this first scrimmage? What are the goals, expectations? You know, what are you trying to see on scrimmage one if you're a coach?
Well, the first thing you want to see is how do the players, the individual players, react to true game-like situations without, you know, being set up in a practice situation. So I think that's number one. I think number two is how well does each unit perform together? Because you get pieces of that during practice when you go good on good. You know, like today, the red zone offense versus defense, you get a little bit of that. But this will give you a lot more true sense of what to expect from each unit. And I think that's big. And it's just it's a different atmosphere. You know, it's not practice now. It's as close as you get to a game situation. So I think it's a different atmosphere that some players react well to and other players don't. So you find out a lot there.
Well, tell us a bit more about our new defensive coordinator, Ted Roof. What kind of coach is he? Is he a tactician? Is he a yeller? Is he a screamer? Tell us a bit more about what you've observed from Coach Roof.
He's an experienced, solid, really good football coach. I've known him for a long, long time. He's been a friend. He is he's an aggressive coach. He's a tough, hard-nosed, old-school kind of coach. He's not a yeller or a screamer so much, but he's not going to shy away from doing that if that's necessary. But I think he's a great addition to our staff. I think his personality is aggressive and tough, and I think our defense will reflect that.
Coach, we mentioned the scrimmage. UCF has announced the spring game here is going to be in the next couple of weeks. It's coming up pretty soon. If you're Coach Malzahn, what is the one thing that you, as at the top of your list between now and that spring game that you're focusing on?
I think it's quarterback play. I think I want to make sure that it's a fine line between putting too much in and not enough to really challenge your quarterback too. So I think it's quarterback play. I think on offense, at least defensively, I think it's got to be how well do we stop the run? So those two things, I think, is what he's looking for. And I think he's going to be pleasantly, not surprised, but he's going to be satisfied, I think. I think it's fun to watch the kicking battle continue.
Yeah, that's a good topic too. What have you seen from the kicking team or the guys that are out there kicking? Is Boomer looking any better? He seemed to have a tough end to the season last year. What's he been looking like?
Well, he and Grant have been alternating every kick, except on the Friday before spring break when Grant had a wisdom tooth out or a root canal or something like that. But anyway, they've been alternating every kick. Today, and I'm only saying today because it's all I remember, but today Boomer made all of them and Grant missed one. So today Boomer got a little leg up maybe.
Coach, I want your general thoughts. Obviously, there's a bunch of changes going on in the NFL. What do you make of this new kickoff rule? I don't know if you've heard about the kickoff rule where now they're lining up across from each other and the returner has to stay back. What do you make of, as somebody who's old school football but also understands player safety, what do you make of some of these newfangled rules that are coming out there?
I think it's an interesting play now. I think we saw it in the spring league in the XFL or USFL or whatever it was. They did that. And I think it's interesting. I'm not sure I like it yet because it takes away some big plays in a way. It also takes away the onside kick, the surprise onside kick. So I'm not sure that it's going to save that much injury wise. I don't know the stats on all of that. So, but if it helps keep players healthy, I think it's a good thing. But I love the kickoff return. I think that's an exciting play. And when a kickoff return team in the old style executes a kickoff return, it's a huge, huge plus. And it's a big thing for the returner too, because a lot of guys, that is what they do best you know. So I'm reserving judgment right now. I'm familiar with what they're going to do. I'm not sure yet which way I'm going to fall on that. Even if it does save a few injuries, I don't know how much the difference will be. I'm not real sure about this tackling rule that they have. I don't know how you can enforce that. It remains to be seen how they can enforce it and how they will. But so I don't know. I'm still up in the air about both of those.
It depends on the team who the refs are.
The referees have a lot to say about the game anyway, and I always hate to give them any more input.
That's fair. Coach, are you one that'll watch these spring leagues? I mean, you know, now it's the UFL, it used to be the XFL, USFL. I know you're a football lifer. Will you watch these spring leagues? Will you consume these products?
Oh, yes. Yes. I have a couple of friends coaching on those teams too, so that's another reason to do it. So
you got a favorite team? Do you got someone we should look out for?
Well, you know, Skip Holtz and I coached together at South Carolina, and he's had two great seasons with the Birmingham team. So I'm a Birmingham fan.
Okay,
former UCF. What do you got on your head there?
That's the Orlando Apollos.
Oh yeah, that okay. Yeah, that was great too. I had a couple friends on that staff too.
Brian has seen every Apollo game ever played, Coach. we'll get you out of here in this one last question. Our friend Clay has a question in the chat here. He says he thinks you could cook a mean steak. Is Clay correct, Coach? Do you cook a mean steak? If so, how is Coach Lounsbury making a steak?
I do cook a mean steak, and I eat a mean steak, and I like it just north of rare.
What are you cooking, Coach? Are we talking a ribeye, filet?
Well, yeah, ribeye, both
all the sirloin,
whatever I can afford to get. But I grew up in Iowa on a cattle and hog farm, so we had our own steaks that we butchered ourselves. So I'm a connoisseur of steaks.
Are you doing it on the grill, or are you doing it in the on the oven, grill. Or
definitely grill?
You're gonna grill it.
You got any seasoning tips, Coach? Any special spices, seasonings that we can steal from you?
Don't overdo it. Don't overdo it. I think simpler is best a lot of times.
Well, he knows football. He knows steaks. I don't know. He probably knows more else. Unfortunately, we're almost out of time, so I don't want to ask him too much. But, Coach, enjoy the scrimmage Saturday. I'm sure you'll be out there, and hopefully we'll catch up with you next week, and you can give us the blow-by-blow. But, as always, we appreciate you hopping in with the Suns UCF.
Thank you very much. I enjoyed being on here.
Thanks, Coach.
Thanks, Coach.
Makes me kind of hungry, Brian. Now, what kind of steak? Yeah. What, are you a medium well guy? What kind of steak are you?
Yeah, I'm going to go anywhere medium, medium rare. If it's a good steak.
Okay. Well, this is around the kingdom time. This is where Trace would get mad at me if I don't play this.
¿Qué está pasando, Night Nation? What's happening, Night Nation? It's proud UCF alum, your favorite Spanish radio broadcaster, Leo Rodriguez. Let's go around the kingdom.
When Leo says go around the kingdom, Brian, we go around the kingdom. We'll start with baseball, which I think is playing now. I don't know the score because I have not been watching. So if anyone in the chat knows, let me know. But they beat Jacksonville on Tuesday. They were one out away from a no-hitter, Brian. Texas Tech Thursday, Friday, Saturday, a bit of a different schedule because of the Easter holiday on Sunday there. So I know UCF baseball is playing now. By the way, check out sunsucf.com. Our friend Michael does the best job I've seen anyone do covering UCF baseball, in-depth analysis of the games that are played and the games that are coming up as well. So if you're a baseball person, sunsucf.com, make sure you follow Michael. That's emptiness4. He will keep you up to date on all things baseball. Brian, softball, bit of a rough weekend. Texas came to town and they took it to us. A sweep at the hands of Texas, now 14-14 on the year, 2-7 in the Big 12. Eric Lopez says, not to worry just yet. It's a tough conference. There's some winnable games here, including maybe this weekend at Texas Tech. But certainly there are some concerns on the softball side, Brian. Hopefully they can get that thing turned around quickly.
You know, I was out and Mike and I went up to Orlando a couple weeks ago, and we were
heard all about it. Yeah,
catch Elo. Yeah, at the Plex out there. We didn't get to see UCF softball play. We had to make it into the arena to watch the basketball game. They got delayed because of the tournament that was going on there. But softball, so much fun, so much fun. They've had their ups and downs this season, but Coach Bob Malone will get them turned around here, and on the right course here. What are we tied at one?
Tied at one in the fourth inning, thanks to our good friend Matt Dolan. Hey, speaking of Eric Lopez, he makes softball fun, Brad. He also makes Around the Kingdom fun, where him and Trey Strucco yell at each other every week, including this week, where they yell at each other about, I think this was Johnny Dawkins.
I think it's the right move, and it's time, Trace. You're a modest person, so I know you will not take part in this, but I am not as – I'm more petty than you are. You and I were 100% correct on this. We nailed this. And I think the people out there that were going after Trace, forget me, I understand people have are critics of me. They can mock my art columns all you want. But Trace is a man that you know, a lot of you know who you are, owe an apology because he got this right 100%. You didn't. So I expect the next time you see Trace on Around the Kingdom and on Suns Live that a lot of you apologize publicly and say, Trace, you were right. That's what I want. That's my declaration.
Was Tilo wearing Tennessee orange in that?
I think it was Auburn orange because he was at a softball game. I'm not really sure. Did we owe Trace an apology? I feel like he owes me an apology. He's not even here tonight. Like I feel like he owes you an apology for being here.
There is no apologies to be given out if he's not here to accept them.
That is a great question. I need to get back with Elo on that one. But let's not fool ourselves. The real reason you all turned in is the return of Clay's Corner, who has been chronicling games for us all season long. He took a couple of weeks sabbatical to enjoy some spring break and apparently not eat any food, according to the chat I just saw. But luckily, he knows still how to work his video recording machines. And here is his recap of UCF Texas Tech.
UCF versus Texas Tech. So the highlights I was given are like really bad, so please go ahead and bear with me. We start the game out with a nice catch from Kobe Hudson, and then Javon tries to toe tap in the end zone, but is called back. So, but no worries though, because RJ Harvey gets in the end zone to put us up by 7. Colton Boomer kicks the extra point, which is going to be rare this game. Knights get the ball back, and Colton Boomer on a fake field goal attempt takes it down the field and almost goes for a touchdown. So, does anyone know if he can throw? Colton can throw. Okay, Ted, get on that right now. New Wildcat formation. All right. All right. Another RJ Harvey touchdown later, and Texas Tech finally goes on the board. Texas Tech gets the ball back and ends up driving down the field and gets a nice little touchdown here. The Knights then try to respond, but in a weird move, we end up going for it, and the clock runs out instead of going for a field goal. After a lackluster third quarter, I think we get a field goal on the board, and they score another touchdown. So, welcome to these awful highlights. Texas Tech settles for a field goal to go up to 24. Knights get the ball back, and Javon blesses us with his amazing catch and goes down the field to score 6. Now all Colton Boomer has to do is just make the extra point.
And it's no good!
Wow.
I forget some of this nonsense. Holy crap, that sucks.
Watching that Texas Tech game was tough. Uniforms on point, by the way, that week.
I'm sure you would say that, yeah.
But nobody was more relieved that UCF ended up losing that game in Trace after he talked about Texas Tech all offseason long. And up until that point, he had just said Texas Tech was the game he was worried about. So,
yeah,
I guess he was right.
I can't confirm he's not at Texas Tech right now, actually. I can't confirm that's not where he's at. But
the fighting Trace Trelcos.
Who cares about Trace Trelco when we have this fun segment, Brian?
So it's a mailbag. So what?
So what? Do you know whose mailbag that is?
It's that time again. Time to open the Brian W. Peterson Sons of UCF mailbag.
Oh, hell yeah.
It's really the hell yeah. I think that makes that segment. UCF Mike was going to join us, Brian. Turns out Mike will not be joining us.
What a surprise.
What I would call a surprise move. But I've got questions for you. This comes from McGuckin_M6. I'm not sure what that's about. Do you have any concerns knowing that transfers that just signed are still able to hop in the portal after this portal window, Brian? We just saw that happen at Iowa with Caden Proctor. You concerned about guys we just got already leaving UCF?
I mean, it's always possible, right? That's what the transfer portal is going to be. The portal giveth and the portal taketh away, you know. I think that there's always going to be that threat there with the portal, so you can't let it control you, so to speak. You just got to go with what you got, and if someone enters the portal, so be it.
This question from Golden Knight_2. With the ever-changing landscape, Brian, is college football getting, or college sports in general, I guess, getting better or worse? Is it a downgrade as a fan from where you were 10 years ago?
I don't know that it's a downgrade for me personally, just because, I mean, I grew up watching UCF in the MAC and in Conference USA, and now here we are in the Big 12. So from my own personal perspective, it's been on the upswing just because I'm a UCF fan and this is the time to be a UCF fan. I think that college sports is constantly evolving. Some of the rules probably need to be a little less strict in certain areas. And we also need to, we need to watch out for the Big Ten and the SEC and, you know, them splitting away from the NCAA and that sort of thing. So it's a balance. It kind of depends on who you're a fan of.
Yeah, obviously, I think the financial side has certainly made some changes to college athletics, and some good, some bad, but maybe that'll work itself out one day. Scott, 88513, wants to know, Brian, how far can this UCF baseball team go?
It depends on which baseball team we get. They're kind of up and down right now. What are they, 4-5 in the Big 12? Is that what I think that's what their record is in conference play?
Yeah, 4-5.
Yeah, 4-5. Got to get that above 500. We got to start climbing the ranks. The Big 12 knows how to play baseball, though, so can't really be disappointed in the first season.
Well, then Riley Carey 16 wants to know, do you see baseball making a regional?
Probably not, would be my guess. Not unless they can, you know, really start to improve here down the stretch, but we'll see.
Black and Gold _ Ed, softball is not doing well. Is it pitching, hitting, or a lack of shade at the plex, Brian?
Well, if you ask Elo, it's 100% the lack of shade.
Please get that man some shade, yes.
And in Elo's defense, I have sat in the plex, and it is hot when it's when that sun is baking. I'm not sure what the problem is with softball. I can't imagine it's the hitting or the pitching. It's got to be a combination of the two. Maybe they're just not you know, hitting at the right time when the hitting isn't good, the pitching is better. And then when the pitching is better, the hitting isn't good. So they need to find a way to get in tune with one another, I think, is probably the answer to that question.
That's some sharp analysis. This is a story in two parts. First, at UCF Knights win, is UCF baseball the only team in the Big 12 that plays on a real grass field? Answer, Michael, emptiness. Four, Baylor, UCF, Oklahoma State, TCU all have natural grass fields. Everyone else is some form of turf. So there's a question and an answer. I'm going to enjoy that. At M, John, and J Johnson, why do these ACC fans believe that FSU and Clemson are automatically going to be in the Big Ten or SEC? What do you think about essentially that those schools kind of joining, and what other schools do you think actually add value, Brian, if you could add them to the Big 12?
I don't think anybody knows what's going to happen with the ACC yet. Obviously, Florida State and now Clemson are really trying to do their absolute best to get out of the grant of rights deal that the ACC has them locked in with. The latest I heard was that potentially the Big 12 could add Miami if the ACC were somehow to fall apart. And while I think that is possible, I don't think that that's going to happen in the near future, certainly not this season. It would be great for UCF to add a program like Miami to the Big 12. We'd have a regional rival, somebody that would be able to kind of alleviate our travel costs a little bit. But I don't think that there's anyone really from the ACC that would be a bad ad, whether it's for football or basketball. They've got a lot of great historical basketball programs. The last I heard was that the Big 12 was trying to go after Duke. I heard just that recently. I don't know if that's true or not, but I'm really curious to see what happens here. I mean, that goes back to the original question of is college sports getting better or worse?
Oh, good. Get Duke so we can lose some more basketball games. I'm going to skip a few here. At Dolly _ drama, with such a low buyout, exceptional character, and a highly revered college basketball guy in a lot of elite circles, why is Johnny Dawkins never on other programs' hot boards when they have coaching openings, Brian?
You know, Dolly makes a really good point here. We heard the rumors that perhaps Vanderbilt was going to be interested in hiring him away, or he was going to move to Vanderbilt in some form or fashion. I think that overall the UCF faithful believe that Johnny Dawkins did a good job this season, right? And that kind of makes you wonder, I don't know basketball, right, like Johnny Dawkins does. I don't know basketball.
Are you sure?
Like some of these ADs do, but it's a good question. I mean, he hasn't been highly sought after by other programs that are willing to throw some money at him. I don't know if that says anything to his coaching record. I mean, we know that his basketball acumen is off the charts. But and it's a good question posed by Dolly.
At Hugh C. Hef, the Kingdom NIL received 2 six-figure donations for men's basketball. Brian, how would you allocate those 2 six-figure donations?
Gold jerseys.
Perfect. Phil Talk Sports wants to know, what was John Rhys Plumlee's biggest win as a UCF QB? His top three are Boise State in 24, Oklahoma State in 24, and at number 17, Tulane in 2023. Brian, JRP's biggest win as a UCF Knight is what?
It's definitely one of those three games. I mean, they're probably a toss-up as to which one. I would probably go with Tulane just because they were top 25 ranked at the time. It was on the road. And I absolutely will never forget that game because of the wild Bowser fake pass to JRP down the sideline. So I would have to go with 17 Tulane.
Somewhere JP Gilbert just had a shutter there. And the final one, and this person did not know you'd be on the show, Brian. This comes from @JCMorning. Should UCF upgrade their unis to bring back pewter and maybe, just maybe, gold for Brian W. Peterson?
Absolutely. If I wasn't going to wear a gold jersey, it would be a pewter jersey. So give me all the pewter jerseys back. I love the pewter. Give me some gold. Give me the gold back too.
I'm a big Peter fan. I don't know about the gold as much, but I'm definitely a big Peter fan. All right, Brian, we got a new thing around here. It's called What's in the Box.
What's in the box?
At Charlie Hustle, promo code TEN1215 gets you 15% off your non-sale item, Brian. Here is this week's What's in the Box question. All right, I broke it. All right, what is one lie we are constantly all told and we all accept it, even though everybody knows it's really a lie?
JRP's a good quarterback.
Wow. Jeez, Brian. I mean, it's a family program. I mean, the guy just ran a 4.49 for crying out loud. I mean, that's where you are. My goodness.
Dolly's pointing out taxes. Taxes are a big one.
Taxes aren't actually. It's a really, really good one.
No, the biggest lie that we're told is that gold jerseys should not be brought back. And we all know that that's absolutely not the case.
I think the entire airline industry is a lie. I don't believe a single solitary thing that happens from the moment I get to the airport to the moment I get home from the airport. I don't believe anything about it. I don't think I need my seatbelt fastened. I think they can make up time whenever they want to make up time. I don't believe a single thing about the airline experience. Everything they're telling you there, Brian, is a fat lie.
If you are on a Boeing airliner, you definitely need to be wearing your seatbelt. Okay.
Okay, that's a fair point. That is a fair point. I believe that's absolutely a lie. Appointment times at doctor's office. I mean, that's definitely a lie. I mean, they're not taking you at that point.
100%.
This is a good one by Matt Dolan. Gus Malzahn was not calling plays. That is a great lie that we are constantly told and we believe, even though we all know
a lie that JRP is going to, or not JRP, JP Gilbert is going to make it to a UCF sporting event this season.
Wow. I have faith in our guy. It won't be women's basketball game. I can promise you that. He may make it to a football game. He may.
He had a chance. Mike told you this on the pod. He had a chance to come with us on the Brightline, and he had a Brightline credit, and he had approval from the wife, and he still didn't come. I have no faith.
Are you somebody who lie constantly? Like when you see someone that you're not going to call, you're like, hey man, I'll call you later. Like, are you one of those guys too? Do you find yourself, are you guilty of committing a lot of these lies that you know are lies and the other person knows a lie as well?
I don't know if they know it's a lie, but yeah, I'm definitely guilty of that.
So in your mind, when you're like, yeah man, I'm gonna give you a call later, you're never calling that person, right?
Yeah. Just like Mike was going to come on for the mailbag.
Yeah. No, that's fair. No, Patrick, you're probably right. The flight crew probably is hungover. But again, everything at the airport, don't believe a thing, friends. Everything you believe at the airport is a lie. But what hasn't been a lie is the fact that this has been an awesome show, Brian. Appreciate you hopping in. I know Trace is otherwise engaged tonight, so thanks for always filling in. I know you got a ton going on with tax season in your life. Always good to steal an hour away with you and talk a little UCF sports. Again, don't forget, sonsucf.com for all your UCF needs. And make sure you find our YouTube channel, where you can find all these videos and much, much more. Everybody, have a fantastic Easter weekend. Have some fun. Be safe. Spend some time with your family. And we will refire this bad boy up sometime next week with a whole bunch of shows. But until then, we will talk to you all later. Everybody, go Knights.
Charge on.
Yo, 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 this is Robert Griffin III. I want to say thank you for watching Sons of UCF.
Robert Griffin, rest your peace.
Oh, man.
Peace, Robert.
Sports Social Podcast Network.